The views and opinions expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program at 831-479-1080 in order to help us balance comment. Welcome to Radiance and Chocolate with your hosts, Sophie Winnick and Melissa Stone. Hey, everyone. It is Monday the 17th of December, and it's raining here. I hope you're all doing well. And we're very excited today because we have a very special guest that we are really honored has decided to share this hour with us. And I'm going to let Melissa talk about that because it's kind of her baby.
Yeah. This man is actually pretty amazing. I've read a couple of his books, and I was drawn to one of his books, his Saved by the Light, at a thrift store, and read it and just thought, this person's just amazing, the journey he's been through. And it's kind of about the same journey I'm going through. I feel that my mission in life is to create a holistic wellness and fitness place where people can come and learn how to keep themselves fit and well. And that's kind of what his deal is too. And he also works with hospice and he does some great things. So
let's hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah, but it's the way of the future. I mean, the whole concept of centers and community-based paradigms and in this next 4 to 6 years are going to, this is the way spas paved the way, and now these kinds of places that reduce stress and people can re-spiritually connect will be,
be
the way of the future. So it's very smart, Melissa, to be going in that direction.
And it's happening so quickly, isn't it?
Well, we the baby boomers are going to drive the dance.
Right. Let's tell the listeners who you are.
Oh, come on, Sophie. Don't blow the deal.
That's Melissa. Sometimes guests have a little trouble telling us apart, but as we go through the hour, you won't be able to miss which one of us is talking.
You'll figure it out.
This is Danyon Brinkley. And we are once again completely honored that you've decided to join us here.
What?
Thank you
so much.
As funny
as you guys are, it's going to be great. Like a party.
Oh, that's, hey, every Monday. It's a party here.
Great.
In Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to, well, you know what? For those of you out there who don't know very much about Danyon, I wanted to just get right into it and have you talk about what happened. You know, what started all this journey for you?
I knew one day I was going to get to meet you and Sophie.
Aww. He's flirting now.
That's the sweetest thing.
He is very sweet. Thank you. Make my day.
In 1975, I was 25 years old. I had been in the Marine Corps, and I was doing defense contracting. And in the whole world of spirituality and religion in the Deep South, everybody goes to hell where I come from.
Right, exactly.
So the religious connotation was in place. And you know what you had to do in the fundamentalism and that the Pope, that the Antichrist lived at the Catholic Church and that was his summer home.
I'll tell my mom.
Yeah. That was the whole mentality. And then I was a patriot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then I got struck by lightning.
And that is an amazing
literally
story.
Not figuratively, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I was
literally
talking on the telephone, sitting on the edge of my bed, talking to a friend, and I heard the lightning crackle in the back, and I said, Tommy, I have to get off. And he made some statement like, well, wow, look at big, tough guy Danyon. He's scared of a little lightning. And I stayed on that phone 1 second too long.
Oh, wow.
The lightning hit me in the side of the head. It went down my spine. It welded the nails of the heels of my shoes to the nails in the floor. It threw me in the air. It suspended me in the air, and it slammed me back down on the bed. Dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. And in the course of it, I would come in and out of these states of consciousness, but I had what is now known as a classic near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
Before it had a name.
Right.
Everybody's had one now.
Right.
Oh, right.
Well, it's very
okay.
popular.
Because what Raymond did, when Dr. Raymond Moody, when he gave it a name, and everybody had a heading, he named it the near-death experience in 1975 in a book he wrote called Life After Life. Well, Raymond was in medical school at the University of Georgia Hospital where they took me.
Luckily for you.
And, well, he kept me from going crazy.
Right.
Because The doctor wouldn't put me in one hospital. They sent me to the medical college trauma unit because they knew they were going to have to do a trach, and I was coming in and out of consciousness. And when they got me there, it was no pulse, no heartbeat, and no EKG.
Wow.
That means if you're not breathing and your heart's not pumping, then you have no brain waves.
I don't
know what you call that, but, yeah. You know, it has a way the hum starts to come into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they put me on a sheet and roll me in a room. But from the time they put me in the ambulance in the paramed, I was out of my body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was lifted out of my body, and I watched what was going on, but I had no consciousness to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way you relate to it when your whole religious concept is you looking for Jesus
mm-hmm.
and the pearly gates and
right.
blah, 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 blah. Well, none of that
Good way to put it.
None of that happens. Whoever told you that story, that's the same person that believes that the Easter Bunny is really the celebration of Astera. And so I lifted out of my body. I watched them work on me. I watched the energetics that go on in between people. We are electrical spiritual beings, electrical chemical. The moment you realize that, you take a whole new viewpoint of yourself.
Whole new, yes.
It's like a uniform you wear in order to function in this environment, like a pearl diver or a deep sea diver. You must put on these layers of consciousness to manifest a mental physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see it from that point of view.
Right.
You know, and then I watched them load me in the ambulance. And the last thing I remember was the guy saying, "You're gone, he's gone." And, you know, I thought, gone where? Because we were all still there.
Right.
And then this tunnel formed, and I went down this tunnel and came in this place of light. And it was bright and brilliant and wondrous, and I was connected to it, and it was connected to me. But never in the experience of the whole thing was one moment not absolute ecstasy.
Really?
How consciously you are aware that there was a great loving presence and a divine intelligence that created this system, because you're not thinking in terms of physical, mental. You've added the expression of emotional and spiritual
mm-hmm.
to the body, to the full context of who you are. Then I saw the visions. What made Danyon famous throughout the years is not only I can get up from the dead, I remember a lot about what happens when you're dead.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual, actually.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I know the way over there and I know the way back. But in the course of this experience, and having Raymond, which, because no one had any context to put this in, especially me,
mm-hmm.
I had not a spiritual thought.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was to deal with everything by easy. If I didn't think I could hit it hard enough to knock it down or out, I would look around till I found something I thought was big enough.
Uh-huh.
And then I never had any emotional stress or, you know, carried on, worried about things. It was dealt with and out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see your life pass before you, after you meet this being, this exalted being, which is really yourself, you know, people have to realize that, and I know this is a really hard concept, guys, but nobody ever left heaven. Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually in the Bible, speaking of religion.
Yeah, we're all one.
We are, you know, heaven is within you.
Right.
Yeah, and we're all one. Every
right.
religion
yeah.
teaches that. Well, if we're all one, how could we all not be in the same place?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then when you think about that from that point, then you take a look at the physical universe. The physical universe is made up of atoms. And all physical matter seems and appears to be really real. You can stomp your foot and hit your head against a concrete wall, and you swear to God it's there.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
Until you look at it under an electron microscope. You slide an atom under an electron microscope, and then you realize that it's 94.6% empty space.
Right.
So 5%, reality, physical reality will never represent more than 5%. I don't care what anybody says. End
yeah.
of story, no more talking, you know, no scientist will argue that point, because the rest is now empty space, but we now know it to be dark matter.
Right, I was going to ask about that.
Well, it's dark matter. Yeah. There is a theoretical quantum dynamic or theory based on this dark matter, because our cosmic energy, that literally is a vibration that holds everything in place. You know what's really funny once you've been dead? You try to figure out little simple things like, what is gravity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, there's things like, how in the world did that fool think that?
Huh.
You know, about reality as you see it. And so when you realize there's no such thing as gravity, then the whole concept of physical reality gets peculiar. Mm-hmm. But after I went through this experience and saw these so-called visions in the crystal cities, I came back and got up, and I was obsessed with it.
Yeah,
well, how could you not be?
It was the most real reality I'd ever seen.
Right.
And I had to understand it, and I would drift back and forth into these worlds because I would lay in the bed for days and hours,
right,
for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the help of Raymond, I got an understanding of the fact that we do not die. It does not happen. I wish everybody will die, but it still won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you realize that, what happens? Forever gets a whole lot longer than you ever thought it was before you knew that.
That's right.
And you're going to be you forever.
And always have been.
Well, I agree to that. The near-death experience didn't give me a point of reference. None of the three I had, remember, open-heart surgery and brain surgery.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
First thing took my energetics, my spiritual world. Okay, let's take this away from him by using electricity. Then let's, because we struck him with lightning, let's give him staph infection, and let's eat the center of his heart out so he'll always hear us ticking. Like, I think a spirit was watching Peter Pan that night and got the crocodile and the clock thing mixed up, and so I can hear my heartbeat with his prosthesis valve. And then they try to take my mind by drilling holes in the side of my head because of three subdural hematomas. The last one was the most interesting because they only gave me an 8% chance to survive. And when I came through the surgery, after 41 hours, I had a massive grand mal seizure.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up in the neurocardiac ward on life support.
Wow.
So when you start dealing with life and death and the way over there and the way back, and those concepts about this world and the next world, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what that led Danny and Brinkley to do is to become a hospice volunteer.
Which I just have so much respect for you for that.
Well, what? I mean, I know you don't die. And there's nothing that I don't have, never had sense enough to be afraid of anything. And now I'm smart enough to realize why I never was.
Right.
Right.
Never happens.
You know, I just recently helped a client die. And it was the most amazing
transition. To me.
Pass.
Yeah. Or transition.
It was amazing.
The mindset has to change.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we have midwifery for birth, but we don't midwife people through this other transition.
Because you've got to face the fact that you're going to hell the moment you enter into that psychological presence.
Right. Right.
Okay, well, you know.
That was eloquent.
Hell doesn't scare me either.
Yeah.
Because hell is the place where God's enemy is. If God has an enemy, he lives in this place called hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if my God has an enemy, then I just need to know where that fool lives. I haven't figured out a way to go to hell without destroying a lot more stuff than I have in my life. But, you know, if that's what it takes, then and I can get to hell to meet my God's enemy, well, that'll be a happy journey.
Yeah. You strike me speechless, which is not easy to do.
But why?
But
we're trying to open up centers, woman.
I know, exactly. We are trying to open up centers.
Yes, we are.
We've got to inspire people to come to the dance.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, what I want to say is we're going to go to a break, but you gave yourself several harsh lessons there.
Well, you know, what can I tell you?
Yeah.
We all learn in our own ways. Mine,
that's
I have
right.
to keep killing myself so I make sure I get it.
Yeah.
You'll notice after three times, I didn't get it too well to the last one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You're a better man than I.
Well, when you have no choice, we'll have that conversation.
There you go. Anyway, so we got to run off to one of those breaks.
Okay,
hold on.
We're going to put you on hold for a second.
Okay.
And then if anyone wants to talk.
Yeah, call in, please. Talk to Daniel Brinkley. We're at 831-479-1080. And we'll be back after these very important messages. Do you have time to get sick? I don't know about you, but I sure don't. There is no such thing as a real sick day for most people I know. That's why I always make sure my cupboard is stocked with my 90 essential nutrients and Longevity's Ultimate Killer Biotic FX. It's my secret weapon against whatever's going around. The Killer Bee Propolis, Colostrum, and Oriental Mushroom combination really boosts my immune system. Those bugs just don't stand a chance. Let's face it, we need to be strong from the inside out to keep going the way we do. And Longevity's Ultimate Killer Biotic FX is, well, it's like a personal trainer for your immune system. Get some. You need it. Trust me, it works. Call me, Sophie, at 831-335-3216. For more information, that's 335-3216. Get some today.
Hey, Sophie, you know I'm not a runner, but sometimes my day sure feels like a marathon.
I know what you mean. Family, work, taking care of your health, all the things you have to fit into 24 hours. It's more like a week than a day.
Yeah.
How do you care for yourself while getting everything done?
Well, exercise, good nutrition, stress relief like yoga and meditation, and it does not hurt to put in some Longevity's Rebound FX into your water bottle to recharge a little all day long.
Yeah, Rebound FX is a highly absorbable liquid concentrate that supports energy levels during a work day or a workout. It's full of amino acids, vitamins, minerals, and a balance of antioxidants, and it tastes great with no sugar.
Supports your active lifestyle and gives you a healthy, tasty boost all day long. It's Longevity. Rebound FX in three great flavors. Keeps you going, keeps you strong. Call me, Melissa, at 831-335-8335. That's 335-8335.
Hello, everyone. This is Sophie Winnick from the Radiance and Chocolate Show on AM 1080 KSCO, Mondays at noon.
And this is Melissa Stone, co-host of Radiance and Chocolate. We want to wish you a happy, safe holiday season.
And a happy and prosperous and healthy new year.
Hey, 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 Sophie, what are you doing over there, Santa?
Ho, 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 ho.
Just want to make sure I get everything I want for Christmas. Leave me alone.
Oh, no. Happy holidays, everyone.
And a happy new year. And we're back. And let's get Danya back. Work those buttons, girl.
Are you back yet? Are you there? Danya?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
He's here.
You can't get rid of me that easy.
I hope not.
Apparently. So I have a lot of questions about life after death.
Okay. After what?
Well,
after the thing there's
life
no
after
such
transition.
Thing as? Yes.
Well, you know, we have to use a word. We have to
transition.
Okay, but that's metaphorically.
Right. So what actually happens?
Nothing happens except that you lift out of your body and it's like peeling an onion.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you created, the psychology that's the person that you created,
mm-hmm.
begins to fade. Okay. And then you begin to truly remember you, who you really are.
Okay.
I mean, after by the time I got to the Crystal Cities the first time and the second time, the personality that's Danyan, I'm still me, but a lot of the personality traits that's Danyan are gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessary to be used as an overview. You have what's called the panoramic life of you, or the Great Book of Judgment, or the Hall of Records, or
right.
the Akashic Records, or where all things are written.
Okay.
Okay, and once you have that, what you do is you'll see your entire life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama.
Mm-hmm.
Then you watch it from a second-person point of view as though you were your best friend.
Okay.
Okay? And then you literally become every person that you ever encounter.
Wow.
And you feel the direct results of your interaction between you and that person.
And you don't feel time. You don't feel like you're there for hours or do you?
No, there is no such thing as time and space and spiritual or cosmic consciousness.
Okay.
I mean, even modern-day science right now, modern-day science, ask any scientist, there's no such thing as time and space. Like earlier when I was talking about gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity is a radio wave.
Right.
Right.
And time is kind of an artifact of our, you know, that we've created.
Right.
Here.
Well, I don't know about we. In order to be able to live in this system to achieve you were chosen to come to this world. That means that the divine architect believes that there is no one but you at a certain point, at a certain time, that you will transmit through you, they will transmit into this world more love and more beauty. It could be you opening the door for someone.
Right.
When I wrote Saved by the Light, it was just the story of Daniel. Hey, everybody, this is a deal. Deal with it whatever you want. Then at Peace was how I was going to build the centers.
Mm-hmm.
And now the secret, which now is the evolution of this 30-year process, mm-hmm. into manifestation. And I wrote a book 10 years ago of how I would do it. And then it's just whether I laid a great plan with my understanding of what death is and the near-death experience and what I believe I can do to help people deal with quality of end of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I deal with palliative and end of life care. I am been a hospice volunteer for 30 years, and I have more than 25,000 hours. And I've been with 367 people when they took their last breath, and probably 1,800 within hours or days.
Wow!
And I just got the President's Lifetime Achievement Award for outstanding volunteer service to veterans.
Congratulations! That's
yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, I'm as proud of that as anything. But
yeah.
If you talk about death in America, either here, preparing for it, the pain that comes with it, the transition to the world, to the other side, and then back to this world, and to get up and to successfully achieve a goal with a lot of help from great people,
mm-hmm.
you know, but nonetheless to have achieved that goal, then there's not a lot about this process I don't know.
Right.
From hands on. I'm not your cosmic guru. You know, I don't have that place about me or always into whatever people call that place.
Right.
There is a life after this one, and it is structured magnificent. You were chosen to come here because no one can do what at a certain time the universe believes
right.
that you can do. So
right.
when people say, I don't know what God wants me to do, God wants you to be yourself.
Right, exactly.
Period, end of story, no more talking, wah.
Right, right, right.
Then the next reason is you chose to come here because in the course of being a spiritual medium by which that world can move through you into this world, you see a lot of stuff you can get yourself into.
That's
people
right.
want to know how you ruined your life? I can answer that question for you easily.
Exactly.
You did it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because being a great, powerful, and mighty spiritual being, which is who everybody is, with dignity, direction, and purpose, that would make you a little biggity. So that means you think there's nothing you can't figure out how you can get yourself into that you can't get out of.
Exactly.
Well, to show you how biggity, arrogant, and stupid at the same time I am, I keep thinking I can get up from the dead.
Well, obviously. Guess
what?
Yeah.
So I'm tired of that lesson.
Yeah, right. But you didn't really want to get up from it.
Well, the first two times I did not.
Yeah.
No question. I would have never, ever considered coming back. But in the third experience, the first two were almost identical in structure. But the third one was remarkable. It's what made me write The Secrets of the Light, because I saw in this third experience a phenomena that I had never before thought existed. The first two times when I lifted out of my body, I call it the blue-gray place, and I structure these things and study them. It was the blue-gray place, but I thought I was the only person there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then in the third experience, I didn't float above my body. I was standing at the foot of the surgical table watching them drill holes in my head, shave my
Yikes.
Head, and drilling holes in my head, and the stuff just gushing out. And then I was in the blue-gray place, but I realized that I wasn't the only one there.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there most of the time through this, like, 3 hours of surgery. And I wandered in that land. And what it is people can get trapped. They don't have to go down the tunnel. And the person that traps them is themselves.
Right.
And I saw all kinds of level of consciousness. That's why I created the Twilight Brigade. When I came back from the third experience, I created the CIA, or the Twilight Brigade, so that I could train people in a technique that when it comes time to dealing with who you love and who loves you, my system of how you deal in end-of-life care will help that person make the transition from this world to the next without me being there.
Okay.
No, it's a technique, and it's the questions that you ask and the things that you learn in 32 years of watching it, but also knowing what's on the other side of that last breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say I have 5,000 people in 22 states, and I am one of the largest end-of-life care volunteer programs for dying veterans in American history.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's wonderful.
But
So after the panoramic review, what happens?
Well, then we'll go back to your original point. Then you literally lose most of the consciousness that was Melissa and most of the consciousness that was Sophie.
Okay.
You're not dealing with all the structured psychologies of the ins and outs, the ego, the laws of attraction, of conservation, and how you implement this task that you decided to put yourself through.
Mm-hmm.
But in this place, this blue-gray place, is where I realized where ghosts live and poltergeists live and what some people call demons, and that this world, because people have lost faith and trust in so much of what they always or were taught to believe was the spiritual way, and they've contextualized it in what is called, it is the religious way.
Right.
And one of the things I think is important for you guys is and I hope that your listening audience, that there were women who were ashamed of themselves for, in the name of love, what they put themselves through. And they would realize not to go down that tunnel because they thought it would be embarrassing to, I guess, God. Mm-hmm. This thing was startling to me.
Right.
You know, I know people go through a lot of abuse in the name of love because it's so horrible and rampant in the world and in America. But not to trap yourself from going to a place that is magnificent. So after that, you lose that place. Where I went, and I call it the Crystal Cities because in the Bible it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions.
Yes, right.
And I go to prepare a place to you. Well, then I can tell you Jesus knew what he was talking about.
He sure did.
My boy had it going that afternoon.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to argue with him, just come talk to me, because I saw these places and it made sense to me in the biblical sense of where the concept and the many mansions idea came from. But they were cities of light. Then came these visions. I came into this place and there was these beautiful beings. I mean, radiant and wondrous. And then there were 12, and then there was a 13th being. And the 13th being tended to control what was going on. And each of the beings, that being would designate, would send this information to me. But it was so completely different, because I was smelling the smells and I was like I was walking through the places as an observer in real time. Hmm. I never knew it was future events. I mean, that's what saved it. And now here I am 30 years later, and I might have missed a year of the event happening.
Sure.
Because we have the ability that nothing's carved in stone, but nonetheless, it just comes about. My ability to interpret it in 1975 and 76 has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a re-release of Saved and Updated.
Oh, good.
But I think the Secrets of the Light, you know, the book, and Catherine and I have this beautiful wife.
Yeah, I've seen her.
Oh, and she makes me almost appear sane.
Well, that's part of her job.
Well, I mean, that's a work in progress, too. But she does. And by taking the secrets and putting it as a primer, I think the other two books bring a lot more into focus for people when they start with Secrets, and then they can find Saved in any dime bookstore.
Right.
I mean, there's millions of copies out there.
I have lots of questions about this.
I guess you better, because nobody's calling.
I know.
I think they're just glued to their
they're probably in
radios.
But 4 years ago, I had two very good friends of mine that died 4 days apart from each other, and they didn't know each other. The connection is me. They actually are buried next to each other in the same cemetery. It's pretty.
Okay, how did that happen?
I don't know. It's pretty odd.
It was not odd. Did they both buy the plot at the same time?
No. Well, they both died. They both died at the same time, and they both were from San Mateo County. So I guess that's why.
No. It'd be more than that. It would be the culmination of a relationship of two soulmates finally meeting each other again.
That's what I think.
Oh, and I know. I mean, it could only one of three patterns. Those kinds of things, quote unquote, coincidences.
And when they both died, they both came to me. I saw both of their spirits.
So it's two different times, 4 days apart.
Right.
So that way you could. you could reinforce the first event with the second event. And how did you find that they were buried next to each other?
Because I went to both of their funerals. Their funerals were...
I would have had to drink some liquor after that. There's not enough yoga in the world to get you through it, what an Irish pub will do for a situation like that.
I mean, it's just... And I feel like the two of them are helping me in my path.
Hold on.
Calm down, Melissa.
Yeah, take a breath, Melissa.
This just amazes me all the
time. Well, hold on. Let me track it. Give me a break. Hold on. Stay calm and regulate your breath so I can track it. So the mechanism is that you are bonded into the relationship, okay? And the fact they're male and female?
Yes.
Okay, so it's about love. And for you, that love will find a way. And it was through you that love found a way for them back to each other.
Wow.
So it's like your radio show and like what you two are doing about helping people balance themselves in search of love.
Right.
We don't want to be healthy. We don't want to be any smarter. We want to be in love and let that be the lesson that guides us. So I would go back to where I knew each of those people from, and I would explore the relationships, both men and women, to look and see. Because in that, there is a secret about those two people or someone they knew that you were very interested in knowing.
Interesting.
Sure, because it may be love, okay? It may be companionship or friendship, or it may be a whole new side of you that you can explore because you can relate to in conversation why you like them and why they like them.
Hmm.
It's important.
Interesting.
Now, as far as there being guides to you, I think they're watching you to see where you take the idea of what you believe about this event. You know, whether they're guides to you and how this mechanism came about and if they had any relatives in the past or how did they each end up with those plots. I would be at that funeral home and I would be that graveyard and whoever owns it, and I would be the world leading authority on how that came into existence.
Interesting.
Because that's your secret.
Yeah.
Because then begins the way to track to see if you're deluding yourself or if it's just a divine observation. But I think they're waiting for you to take the next step before they would engage in being a guide to you, because realization is the step that empowers people to move forward.
Right.
Remember, everything teaches this. It's not what you do, it's why you do it.
Right. Interesting.
It's intention.
You know, we do have a caller.
Do we? Oh, wow.
We have...
I can't see the board very well from here.
We have Dave from Coeur d'Alene. Dave, are you there?
The minister, Dave.
Oh, it's Dave. Hello,
on
Dave.
On your knees.
Oh. Okay, it's a family show.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Daniel. You know, Daniel, we have a contact. Do you remember a woman named Bernice Barlow? She did the book called Secret Sites of the West about 10 years ago.
I don't know her.
In Nevada. Anyways, good program. I love the eclectic spiritual stuff, as you know well, Melissa and Sophie.
Yes.
By the way, Melissa,
wait a minute. Quit talking to Melissa and tell me who this woman was.
Get down to brass tacks.
Yeah, get on your knees, son. Don't start this stuff and not finish it.
What would be Bernice Barlow? She is a scholar of ancient sites around the world, particularly in the Americas. She is basically, as I know, the only woman ever allowed at the Native American Sundance, and equates herself with many Native Americans and studies their ancient glyphs. Actually, the park services of Nevada invite her in with the new historical sacred site they found for her to go over before they allow the university to come in.
And her name is Barlow. What's her first name?
Yeah, Bernice, B-E-R-N-I-C-E, Bernice Barlow. She did a lot of books for Llewellyn.
No, I will check this out. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I've been following your program, you and your events for many years now. Actually, I did try to get you on my show. Then I got a major massive brainstem hemorrhage. I almost died. Went to the other side, came back. You know what I'm talking about.
He has a story of his own.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways.
You need to write it down and send it to me so I can read it. You never know what I can see in how it what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, go to DaveAllenMinistries.com. It's all there. But the reason I called today, Melissa, Sophie...
A-L-L-E-N?
A-L-A-N-A-L. Either way, I have it going there. A-L-E-N is actually the real way, but... Yeah.
So he really didn't want to talk to me at all, miss.
Oh, no. No, the reason I called up, actually, joined the program, but Melissa, remember a couple of weeks ago you asked me about getting over the Father Charlie?
Yes, I know
Father Charlie.
I found out he passed away last Sunday.
I heard about
that. Yes, let me tell you something about this for all everybody there. You know, Father Charlie's working on a book for many years now about the Catholic Church and revealing the light they've been suppressing. And being a very scholar in what he called the retired police, retired priest.
Dan Brown did that with the Da Vinci Code.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, the guy that wrote the Da Vinci Code, he found out he used to sneak over to Monterey, go through his gathering of the way, which he had to restudy at his house as a retired priest. In any event, Father Charlie wrote this book, and he published it about a year ago after struggling. He told me about, a few months back that he had sent several copies to his longtime friend and fellow seminary priest, went back in the days, I believe it was the Cardinal of Los Angeles, and the Cardinal brought the book to the Vatican because Father Charlie was very concerned that the Catholic Church was losing membership, especially in Europe, 60% less membership because people are rising up. They're tired of being kept in the back porch. They want to know the light. Cut the crap.
Or the world's not flat anymore.
Thank
Hello.
You. Exactly. Thank you, Daniels. Anyway.
Hey, Dave, we got another caller, Dave.
Anyways, Daniel asked me a story. Anyways, Daniel. So what happened was.
I didn't ask you that story. I asked you who Miss Barton was, Dave.
And you still haven't.
Well, I still don't know who she is. But
put him in his place, Daniel.
Go to Daniel.com and send me this story.
Yeah, do it, Dave.
Do what?
Do it. Do what he says.
Daniel.com. Go to Daniel.com and send me this story.
Well, Daniel, the reason I'm telling you this quick story is his book was refused by the Vatican. Then within 1 month later, last February, his voice got tongue-tied. He's a linguistic scholar. He suddenly got a massive stroke, but all CAT scans, all x-rays, everything pointed to
so he's got a hex put on him by the Catholic
Thank
Church.
You. And that's my point. He passed away last Sunday, and he wrote a prayer called Great Manifesting Power Prayer, which I just posted up, anybody can get
send it to Daniel.com,
yes. I
Dave.
Will. Or go to greatpowerprayer.com.
No, send it to him,
send
Dave.
It to
send
Daniel.
It to you do it, Dave.
And I'll put the link. Quit telling me about that prayer place. I'm in, so.
All right.
Hey, Dave.
Dave, we got to take our next call. We're running out of time here.
Greatpowerprayer.com. Anybody go listen to it. I'm serious.
We love you, Dave.
We
do. Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, you handled him.
Oh, we like that.
Thank you.
Dave is good, but
he's a wonderful guy.
He's not gonna push you guys around, and it's your show.
Thank you.
He's a friend of ours, and yeah.
Yeah, but he's still not gonna push his way on there.
Well,
I'm here, he's not gonna do that.
Knight in shining armor.
You're
awesome.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have Rich from Salinas. Rich, are you there?
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, hi. By the way, the hurricane season's over now.
Oh, thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. You're always telling us that.
Hey, so, listen, Daniel, I've heard you numerous times on Coast to Coast with Art Bell, and I think once with George Norrie.
Now I'm on Christmas Eve with George. This Christmas Eve.
Ooh, we're going to listen.
Right. Well, I've heard a number of times when you've talked to both of them, but I had a couple of questions, actually a third one, but... have in your experiences going to the other side, have you ever run into aliens from another planet or universe anywhere? As the first question.
Okay, you want me to answer that one before you ask the second one? You better wait till last minute, the second one, because I'll probably forget it.
Okay.
Yeah, answer that. I want to know that,
if you've
too.
Been hit in the head by lightning, you have to give me a little latitude.
He's a crispy critter.
Yeah, so here's two things. Number one, in the early days, lying in the bed, when I would pass from the physical mental level, because of which it was nothing but pain, into the ethereal spiritual level, I would pass through a universe or a paralleling universe to ours that had a creature in it. I always say they look like praying mantises, but like what now I know to believe insectoids.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have a name for them, but I never knew any of that crap. And I, you know, but I would sit and I would ask people about them and insectoids. But then number two, in the prophecies. In the prophecies in 2008 or 9, the realization that there is life on other Earths and other planets will become so obvious.
Really?
And here it is on Larry King, and we got all these guys coming out, and you can go on YouTube and find pictures taken by astronauts when we were landing on the moon. A craft sat down beside them, and they took photographs of it, and now all that stuff is coming out now. So for me, I believe that there is extraterrestrial, but also interterrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
These paralleling dimensions is a lot of what we say is extraterrestrial is coming through. But I believe that there is a genetic proof of who we are, physically and mentally, because of when they mapped the DNA, there were 229 bacteria that did not come from the Earth, and it completely destroyed the theory of advanced evolution. Because these bacteria caused the primates on this planet some 220,000 years ago to stand upright and become conscious. Now, this is DNA and scientific. So I believe that there is an origin of us. The coolest part about being a human being is we originated almost like clones for some purpose, but we learned how to procreate and create ourselves, and we created a system by which beings can move from the dimensional spiritual world into this world and to achieve certain things. One is to learn to be co-creative. So I believe that there is extraterrestrial life, and I'm sorry I rambled on.
That's okay. The second question was, are there any animals, pets, that recognize from your life or anybody else's pets that they
have? Oh, every pet. I can answer it easy. Anything that you've ever loved or anything that's ever loved you celebrates you coming home.
Really?
We come from different teams. It's like the levels of angels. There's 178 orders of angels. So none of us are the same, but we assemble as teams to function on the Earth in a pattern. And when you do that, whether it's a pet or a bird, you know, or anything that you loved or loved you back, especially animals, which has a consciousness of love. It's not like, you know, it's instinctive. It's instinctive more than it is thought of or mentally put into a process. Wow. So everybody will see their pets. I just hope based on that you don't die the same day that a Nebraska dairy farmer died. Or think about the guy who owns Tyson's Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Don't you see all those chickens there with their feathers on their hips, patting their foot?
I'm just wondering if Michael Vick's dogs will be waiting for him.
Uh-oh.
Well,
and then the last question is about Edgar Cayce and his readings. What is your take on Edgar Cayce?
Well, I read a lot of Cayce's, and I go to the Cayce Institute every year or so to do programs, but the whole thing to me about Cayce is how the process came about. I mean, here's a fundamentalist, dogmatic Christian from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about what he was worried about when he woke up from those trances. I bet he opened one eye at a time.
Yeah.
You know, but when you look at the system by which he dictated that stuff and you look at it, this is another entity or a multitude of entities that have joined together that through some methodology can pass through him. And some of his medical, when he would do diagnosis, because I deal in health care, palliative and end of life, so most things that interest me, UFOs interest me because I'm from South Carolina where they created drag racing. And the only thing I'd be interested in if they'd let me drive, see what it would do in a quarter mile or half a universe. And then other than that, I don't care what they're doing as long as they're having fun. But I pay attention to those end of life care. And Cayce had some absolutely remarkable diagnosis and treatment protocols.
Before we had all the medicine that we have today, too, which is amazing.
Well, that's just dope pushers.
Oh, yeah.
Pharmacology. Yeah.
Hello.
Insurance companies and pharmacology.
Call it how you see it. I like that.
Insurance companies and pharmacology control what we know as the American healthcare system. We spend more money than anybody else in the industrialized world, and we're number 23.
Yeah.
And it's always easy to tell what you're going to get sick from 2 years from now. It's the side effects on the dope you're taking today.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, listen, I've enjoyed you every time I've heard you. Thank you very much, and I'll listen for you on Christmas.
Happy holidays, and may you be blessed, my brother.
Thank you, Rich.
Okay, bye-bye.
He's a great guy. We like him.
Well, I mean, all you have is guys, so, you know, you guys got this thing figured out.
Yes, we do. Now,
I
must say.
What do you normally talk about? What is the show about?
We talk about health, wellness.
Whatever we think is cool.
Spirituality, you know, pretty much what we're talking about today.
We're all about spreading illumination that love is all there is and that we're all one, and that's kind of what we do, you know?
Okay, so it's about appreciating who you are and the life you're having.
Yes, absolutely, exactly. And having a lot of fun doing it, because we sure don't
You certainly, when you get to a lot of fun, this is hillbilly heaven when you get me on the phone.
Oh, that's right, and you notice I'm falling into a bit of a drawl. I was worried about that. I'm kind of an empathic mimic.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
It is. People always think I'm from somewhere else, but I'm actually born and bred California.
Well, I have people because my voice is just me. But I was in a shoe store the other day getting a pair of shoes fixed, and I was talking to the guy behind the counter, and these three people came up individually and said, "We know who you are."
Oh.
And it's just that voice. But I'm proud of being from the South. I have a deep, we came to America in 1751, and I still own the house that we built in, started in the 1790s and finished in 1804.
Wow. Before we get off the phone, I have a client that just recently had a near-death experience. He was hit by a train, and I hope he doesn't mind me talking about him. But
we're not going to tell his name.
No, I won't use his name.
Because that's HIPAA.
Yeah, but he said he has near-death experience. He had a choice to come back.
Yeah, don't you hate those people? I don't think I would have made it back the third time.
Really?
I mean, I spent 41 hours in recovery, and then I had a massive grand mal seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me an 8% chance to survive. But I had to get back because of what I discovered in the blue-gray place.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
but a lot of people's jobs are not done. And because of cardiopulmonary resuscitation and advancements of science and a few good drugs, the opportunity to give us what was once 5 minutes with no breath was death, and that now people are resuscitated up to 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I can believe he was given a choice, and it's that I hope he wasn't supposed to help you build a center.
No, I don't think so.
Well, it should be.
At least he's supposed to come to one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people, when they're having a choice, it's about your children or your job's not done yet or the thing that you were sent to do, to be yourself in a certain situation where they can put more than just the act of love or support or caring. They can move an enormous amount of energy and manifest it so it can be drawn upon to help other people not quite as advanced gain more insight or a deeper spiritual expression of themselves with a little help from the divine side.
Right. Now, I've read, too, that you get five choices. That you could have five near-death experiences.
Well, seven options to leave.
Okay, seven. Okay.
In the course of a lifetime, don't ever believe a five number.
Okay.
Mm. Whoever told you that, you know, they're pulling that out of the air. It'll be one. It'll be two, but two and one, because that's just polarity.
Okay.
You know, it's a male and a female
right.
and a male.
Right.
That's just polarity.
Okay.
It's still just one.
Okay.
Then there'll be not a two. Then there'll be three, because you're setting up the Trinity.
Right.
God of the Father, Son, Holy
right,
Ghost.
Right, right.
Then four, because four is north, south, east, and west, earth, wind, water, and fire.
Right.
Because the three is who you recognize you are. Four is what you do with it.
Okay, I see what you're
saying. Not just to be you.
Okay.
We are great, powerful, mighty spiritual beings, but we also have dignity, direction, and purpose. So the next three, the dignity, direction, and purpose, become the control and modifier by which to evolve in the spiritual context. Then you'll have sevens. It's a mystical number.
Right.
You'll have nine because it's a moment of change. You know, it's that place in changes.
Mm-hmm.
Ten became a part of the cosmic dwell because it's considered a decade. Where we used to live in a cycle of life that was like a generation. But a generation had no numerical contextual number.
Okay.
So we evolved it next to a decade. Then you have 12, and then there was the 13th, which was Christ to the disciples. And then life is in 17-year cycles after that.
Okay, interesting.
See, when you go through this as many times, guys, as I've been through it, and I live with people in end of life, so if no one's been to see you in 3 years and it's me and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you can have some really wondrous conversations.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I don't talk about the weather.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not scared to talk about death because when I show up, that's the dance.
Right.
You know. You know, you might as well put, you know, might as well come tiptoeing in because this is the party.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go, I'm going to throw this at you. So I told you that my two friends passed away 4 days apart.
And are buried beside each other.
And are buried beside.
Because they live in the same county, San Mateo.
The day of the first funeral, I was at a market where some cookies fell. Okay. And I looked at somebody next to me and said, oh, did I drop that? I'm sorry. And I put it back on the shelf. And these three people that were standing next to me had very deep blue eyes and to me looked like angels. And the one woman said to me, honey.
Called Pleiadians.
She said.
I used to be one of them.
Yeah,
Nordic.
She said, honey, you didn't drop the cookies. The ghost did it.
Would you ask him, was the ghost cute? And was he planning on taking you out to dinner on Friday?
No, so I told her, I said,
what did he look like?
I said,
what did she look like?
I said, I said, two of my friends just recently died. It's pretty funny that you should say that today to me. And she said, yeah, it's your girlfriend, and she wants you to know that everything you've ever told her is true. Now, my girlfriend that passed away, she was the only one that I ever told about my psychic ability, my own out-of-body experiences. She was the only friend that I had ever told that information to. So this woman saying, your friend is telling me now that everything you've ever told her is true.
But that still doesn't make her a god.
That's a big message, though.
That's a good message, but it's the value of the distance traveled. A person would come back in such a way to pass this information. Most people aren't prepared for it, but is this after the first funeral?
This was the day of the first funeral.
Okay, so you didn't know about the second one yet.
I knew there was going to be one, but I didn't know they were going to be buried in the same spot.
Got it. So
right. The
key is that's a clear response from her for you to keep developing what you're doing, and it was her way of letting you know through all that she went through, she made it safely.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Awesome.
Lucky.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, and the next thing, I would have chained that woman up and the one who told me what she was telling her, and I'd have her living at my house or I'd be at hers.
I know. I wish I would have, gotten some
got
contact.
Got you some handcuffs.
I know.
Now.
I was not thinking clearly.
Now.
It has been amazing talking to you. We are
really
totally
has.
Running out of time, and I'd love to have another
Well,
hour.
Call, get a hold of Kat, and it's sure. Danion.com, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But get a hold of Kat and do it again. And
we
get
will.
On. You guys
love
are
it.
Really
I
fun.
Will. I will.
Yeah,
I will
this totally. Was really fun. You're a great guy to talk to. Okay. Not only the subject matter, but just you.
Yeah.
Oh, but thank you, guys. I mean, I'm not in the guru business, and people need solid things to look at based on what you can believe in about that there is not only life after death. It's all about living this life. And I hope that when people listen to me, they feel my relationship with the other side. And my closing thought is this. If it's not funny, it's not spiritual.
Ha! Love it.
With that, cover yourself in a bubble of white light.
Thank you.
Purple energy.
Thanks, Danion.
Purple
See
energy.
You at the center.
We
Thank
sure
you.
Will.
All right, love you guys.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Purple energy running up the midline of the body. Green energy illuminating the heart chakra. We are one as we are held in the divine. Namaste.
Namaste. Nick Belich is up next.
on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Leading the economy. To sort it all out, let's go live to Washington, Fox News Radio's Chris Barnes.
Todd, the president spoke of economic headwinds, but assured a Virginia Rotary Club the economy's fundamentals are strong, citing job growth, and saying he was there because...
This is where jobs are created. This is where dreams are lived.
But Senate Democrat Charles Schumer says the president's dreaming if he thinks his job creation record is good, and says he's done little on...
Subprime crisis, the credit crisis, the energy crisis.
Schumer accusing the president of being out of touch with economic reality, Todd.
Chris, could be some late-night pizza deliveries on Capitol Hill. Congress could be working through the night on a budget. And it's been a battle considered to be a defeat for Democrats who failed to get some policy writers through a key sticking point, funding for troops in Iraq. New Jersey making it official, putting the death penalty there on ice.
Governor John Corzine legally ends capital punishment, signing it into law. No one has been executed since New Jersey reinstated the death penalty in 1982. Corzine also signed orders commuting the sentences of eight men on death row to life in prison without parole. Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
The show must go on. New episodes of The Tonight Show and Late Night set for the new year without striking writers.
NBC has confirmed the new shows will begin January 2nd. A similar decision was made in 1988 when Johnny Carson returned to The Tonight Show after the second month of a writer's strike that lasted 22 weeks.
Fox Radio's Mari Cartel in Los Angeles. No more cupcakes for kids in the Windy City. School districts there banning cupcakes from classroom Christmas parties. Their plan to promote healthy living. Cupcakes are out. Veggie trays are in. Some parents are comparing the school district's decision to Scrooge. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Hi, we're here today with Jeff Favre.
Hello.
Jeff's a former cybercrime special agent with the Pentagon, but today we're talking about home computers.
That's right. With so many people handling their banking, shopping, and retirement accounts online, cybercrime is exploding.
And do you say security software isn't enough?
Security software is just too easy to beat. Home users should do what the Pentagon does, combine software and hardware, and that's ID Vault.
ID Vault looks like one of those little USB memory sticks, right?
It's actually more like a key that padlocks your online identity, so nobody can touch your passwords or account numbers. It's easy enough for anybody to use, but strong enough to suit a pro. It even fights online scams.
That's important with holiday shopping online.
You bet. ID Vault would make a great gift.
So put it on your list, huh?
Absolutely. It's the best defense.
Thanks, Jeff.
ID Vault is available at Best Buy and BestBuy.com, and it's backed by a manufacturer's $1 million guarantee. Visit IDVault.com for a $10 savings.
White House spy games under the microscope on Capitol Hill.
If it all sounds familiar, the Senate is debating changes to the FISA Surveillance Act that it passed earlier in the year, a bill many Democrats thought went too far. A key issue is lawsuit immunity for telecommunications companies that help the government track terrorists.
I believe it to be most inappropriate for the Congress to intercede and grant immunity retroactively.
Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter, a rare Republican, against immunity. But West Virginia Democrat Jay Rockefeller says the bill puts liability where it should be, with government officials.
Nothing in the bill provides immunity for government officials for their actions.
At the U.S. Senate, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Congress hoping to avoid a passport crunch, planning to delay a new security rule that requires passports at all U.S. border crossings. The White House says they will oppose the measure. It affects vacationers heading to Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean. A yellow flag thrown in Oregon over fancy footwork by some football players.
A high school football team in Portland, Oregon is getting penalized for unsportsmanlike culture. The Jefferson Democrats do what's called the haka dance before each game. It's an ancient dance performed by Polynesians before war. Opponents and league officials say it amounts to taunting when done in the faces of the other team. The league did give Jefferson the option of turning around and doing the dance looking the other way, but the team voted to face their rivals and eat the 15 yards. It didn't cost them in the win-loss column. They finished the year 9-2. In Portland, Oregon, Dan Springer, Fox News Radio.
It was a routine car crash in Texas. A woman declared dead. Rescue workers draped a sheet over her body. Turns out, though, Erica Smith was not dead. That discovery made 2 hours later when the San Antonio Medical Examiner's Office came to pick up the body. She's now in critical condition. I'm Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather outlook is for mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers. Temperatures expected in the upper 50s today. Southerly winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with chance of rain. Lows should be in the mid to upper 40s with southerly winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, rain with temperatures, again, in the 50s. Boaters forecast for Monterey Bay. Southeast winds 5 to 15 knots. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet. Northwest swells 5 to 10 feet at 12 seconds. Highway Patrol reporting at 1244. Traffic collision, no injuries. 30th Avenue and Capitola Road in Santa Cruz. Also, a traffic hazard. Some large rocks in the roadway reported Del Monte Boulevard and Lapis Road in Monterey County. At 6 minutes past 1 o'clock, this Monday afternoon, the 17th of December. Time now for the Noon Balloon with Nick Belayich. Have one with Nick here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Would you like to